journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free of all minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Friday, June 25th, 2010, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
It just makes me stop and think. Silence is not an option.
The dangers of oil production and consumption, and the viable alternatives to it. We'll spend the hour with filmmaker Josh Takel and his new film, Fuel.
Sorry if my eyes drop when the bellow meadows out, but I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. A charter boat captain in Louisiana who shot himself to death yesterday is being considered the 12th human casualty of the BP oil spill in the Gulf. 55-year-old William Allen Cruz was standing on the bridge of his boat when he aimed his gun at his own head. After weeks of being distraught, watching his 20-year charter boat business be destroyed by the spill. The Deepwater Horizon rig explosion killed 11 workers on April 20th of this year, followed by enough oil damage to earn the title of the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history. Cruz had been hired by BP to help with the cleanup efforts 2 weeks ago. Meanwhile, yesterday, one of the underwater robotic submarines deployed to clean up the spill knocked out a cap, releasing hundreds of thousands of gallons in a new leak. The cap has been replaced as of this morning. BP's operations in Alaska, which were exempt from President Obama's moratorium on offshore drilling, are now receiving new scrutiny. The Liberty Project, as it's called, is due to have its first well drilled this fall. Mark Kovac, a BP Alaska employee for more than 30 years, recently turned over hundreds of documents to CNN that he says prove that the Alaska operations are as doomed as the Deepwater Horizon rig. Today, we spend the hour examining the dangers of oil production and consumption, and alternatives to oil through the lens of a brand new award-winning documentary, Fuel, created by pioneering biofuel enthusiast Josh Takel. And KPFK has organized a special screening of the film this Saturday at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro, 478 West 6th Street, at 7:30 p.m. And you can call and make a pledge to KPFK today and this hour, at any time this hour, for $25. And we'll send you a couple of tickets, or rather, we'll have a couple of tickets waiting for you at Will Call this Saturday to see the film at 818-985-5735. For a pledge of $85, you can get the DVD copy of the film, or pledge $100 to KPFK and you get the DVD plus two tickets. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. In just a few minutes, I'll be joined live in studio by Josh Takel. But first, I want to play for you the opening minutes of the film Fuel.
A long time ago, the Earth was a very different place. Hundreds of millions of years before the dinosaurs, the Earth was covered with vast oceans, filled with life. That life took the form of simple single-celled organisms, phytoplankton and algae. Those single-celled organisms converted the sun's energy into chemical energy. They consumed carbon dioxide and produced oxygen. When they died, they fell to the bottom of the ocean floor and were covered by layers of sediment. Heat and pressure converted those ancient single-celled creatures into oil. About 150 years ago, humans drilled into the earth and began extracting that oil. And that's when our world profoundly changed. Oil is the lifeblood of our society. Almost everything in our lives is made from oil. It heats us, it cools us, it feeds us, it brings us what we need to live. It takes us where we need to go. But there are problems with our use of oil. serious problems. My name is Josh Tickell. I've spent my life searching for a solution to those problems. This is my story.
America is addicted to oil, imported from unstable parts of the world.
80% of the world's oil reserves are in the hands of OPEC countries. These are the countries that will dictate our economic stability.
It's the military petroleum complex. They are crack fiends for carbon.
We are facing the decline of the primary energy supply that runs the economy.
I should be dead by then, so it's not my problem, it's your problem.
And those are the opening minutes of the new documentary Fuel, just now out on DVD, about the dangers of oil production and consumption, but most importantly, the alternatives to it. You can get a DVD copy of this film, newly released on DVD right now at 818-985-KPFK. It's an $85 pledge. You can also get tickets to see the KPFK screening of the film tomorrow night at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro. That's a $25 pledge for two tickets. You can get both a DVD and two tickets for a pledge of only $100 at 818-985-5735. I'm very pleased to be joined in studio this morning by the filmmaker Josh Tickell. Welcome to Uprising.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. It's amazing how appropriate your film is, how timely it is at this moment when this horrific oil spill has happened, because not only is it talking about oil, it talks specifically about and covers specifically what is happening in Louisiana. You're from Louisiana, your mother's from there. Did you ever think that your film was going to be so timely?
I had hoped that it would never be so timely as it is now. You know, when you grow up in Louisiana, especially in the area that we grew up in, which is called Cancer Alley, it's an area of 150 petrochemical facilities. So the majority of the nation's gasoline, the majority of our plastics, the majority of everything that is made from petroleum is made there. And the result is ongoing environmental destruction. So this oil spill didn't happen because it was an isolated incident. It happened as a consequence of a long sequence of events.
You're going to Louisiana tomorrow, today actually, and you're going to be speaking there tomorrow. We're very sad that you're not going to be able to join us for the film screening. But David Freeman will be, the Green Cowboy, yes, David Freeman will be there for Q&A. He's featured in your film as well. How bad is the situation in Louisiana? I'm assuming you're talking to your family and friends who are still there?
Yeah. I think we underestimate the true magnitude of what's happening. You know, there's the human side, there's the environmental side, and then there's the eventual economic side. And the human side is completely underestimated. Louisiana runs on oil. All of the small towns along the coast of Louisiana, those towns are the towns that take things to and from the 5,000 oil rigs that are in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, most people think, oh, why is there a broken pipe on the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico? Why is there even a drilling rig, you know, off of shore? Well, there are 5,000 of them. And one in 300 will have an accident or will have a serious leak. So you can start to do the math and start to see, well, the more drilling we do and the deeper we do it, it's just a game of roulette. Sooner or later, there's going to be an accident. There's going to be a problem. And with the way things run in Louisiana, which is no environmental protections, no environmental mandates, no environmental sanctions, you're playing a really serious game of roulette. Mm.
And as I mentioned this morning, as part of the human toll, the charter boat captain we heard yesterday, a 55-year-old charter boat captain who shot himself to death, is now being considered the 12th human casualty. And there may be dozens more people who realize that their entire livelihoods are devastated by this.
Yeah, I just got an email from a trauma center that exists pretty far south of New Orleans. And the cases that they're dealing with now have escalated through the roof. The human toll is difficult to explain because people think, well, why are these people drilling anyway? You know, why are they so stupid that they sell their future for a few dollars? And that's such a naive and such a naive assumption that there's some other way of life for them. This has been 150-year culturation where companies have come in and very, very, very strategically taken over the culture. So there is no other form of income for these people. There are no other options. This is one of the worst education states in the nation. Mm-hmm. And so if you had responsible companies, they would have environmental protection, they would have safety, they would have education. These people would have upward mobility. But as it is now, these people have nothing other than oil.
I want to play another excerpt of the documentary Fuel. My guest is Josh Dekel, the filmmaker. And this excerpt of the film is about the pollution in Louisiana. You can sort of imagine that Louisiana is sort of a petri dish for the rest of the country, the worst case scenario happening in Louisiana. This is an award-winning documentary. It has received more than half a dozen awards, been the official selection in over a dozen film festivals, and it's just now out on DVD. It's our thank you gift to you today for pledge of $85 at 818-985-5735. You can get tickets to see the film tomorrow evening, along with the DVD for a pledge of $100. So the DVD and two tickets for a pledge of $100 at 818-985-KPFK. Let's hear another excerpt of the film Fuel.
When I was young, the bayou was just beautiful. We swam in the bayou. We ate all the food out of the bayou. Cajun people love to share their food. They love to fish. They love to dance.
A Cajun is somebody who eat anything that don't eat him first. We ate jambalaya, catfish, gumbo, anything that you could catch out of the rivers and swamps. That was the staple of our diet.
God didn't give Louisiana white beaches like he gave Florida. He didn't give us mountains like he gave Colorado. He gave us dead dinosaurs. He gave us a Jurassic Park of oil and gas from which we've built a huge refining and manufacturing industry.
Louisiana actually produces more gasoline than any other state in the nation. We have 150 petrochemical facilities in a 100-mile area. The refineries heat crude oil in distillation towers. Oil vapors condense along the sides, splitting into a variety of products, like diesel fuel and gasoline. The leftover toxic chemicals turn the surrounding air and soil into what the EPA calls the fallout area.
Well, when you drive along the highway, all you see is something that looks sort of like the Emerald City. You know, you see all these towers and columns and tanks. And the whole purpose is to manufacture chemicals that are building blocks that are used for other manufacturing processes, as well as finished products like gasoline, jet fuel.
Plastics, chlorine, ammonia, nitrates, fertilizers, PVC. But there's a third fraction of the oil barrel. That third fraction is waste, usually toxic waste. There's only three ways to get rid of it. You can burn it, you can dump it on land, or you can dump it in water. And so for the last 70 years, the oil companies in Louisiana have been doing all three. Growing up in Louisiana, in history class, everyone watches a film called The Louisiana Story. It shows the story of a young Cajun boy and his Cajun family, and an oil derrick moves in. And the oil people are friendly, they give them money, they hit a gusher, they cap the well, and then they leave the place almost better than they found it. One little detail that we were never told. The film was funded, paid for, by Standard Oil. It was like Standard Oil's first public cover-up. They were going into Louisiana, ripping the bayous open, and creating a toxic cesspool.
I remember driving back from New Orleans. We'd pass these long stretches, and I'd just see these horrible fires and these thick, ominous-looking clouds of smoke for miles. The stench was terrible.
One of the ways that the petrochemical companies get away with releasing more emissions of chemicals and byproducts and waste products into the environment than they're actually permitted to do is that they have these little accidents. And sometimes they're not so little. Sometimes the accidents are great big and there's huge explosions. They ask people around here to run inside their homes, close their doors and windows, and try to seal them up with tape.
Our community is surrounded by 11 petrochemical plants, a hazardous waste facility, and a Superfund site. As a consequence, our entire swamp, as well as the community, became polluted. And this pollution bioaccumulated in the organisms, so that when people ate fish, they were eating contaminated fish. This has been documented by EPA.
When you take a look at the local emergency planning committee's records of these accidents, there are between 200 and 300 a year.
We have studies after studies after studies that were just never published.
This is a cover-up in your opinion.
It's a cover-up in their opinion. Facts about working with PVC. PVC is a non-hazardous material made from vinyl chloride monomer. VCM exposure is virtually non-existent. I didn't plant this here. I mean, this is just happens to be what's here. PVC dust is non-toxic. These are all the things that they send to the folks who are working out in the field. There are documents in here that say if we don't tell what we know, it could be construed as evidence of an illegal conspiracy on the part of industry to withhold vital information from the government.
Don't you know children was born here and they left all this water contaminated? They didn't come and sit knock on anybody's door and say, y'all need to be moved out of here. They just let the people live like, you know, okay, they die, so what?
One thing that started to really become clear was that women were relating to me about this strange problem that didn't affect any generation but their daughter's generation. There was this increase in fertility problems, there was an increase in birth defects, and there was an increase in reproductive problems, miscarriages, a higher rate of miscarriages.
I mean, your husband used to work here, right?
My husband worked at Conoco,
yeah.
And, you know, we're not able to have kids.
That's another excerpt of the award-winning documentary Fuel by Josh Tickell, who joins me in studio this morning. It's our thank you gift to you on DVD. It's just out on DVD for a pledge of $85 at 818-985-KPFK. This very timely documentary is also going to be screened for a special KPFK event tomorrow evening at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro, 478 West 6th Street at 7:30 p.m. You can get the DVD and a pair of tickets to the screening for a pledge of $100 anytime this hour at 818-985-KPFK. By the way, we also have tickets to Lilith Fair 2010 happening July 10th, Saturday, July 10th at Irvine Meadows, and we're throwing those in to sweeten the pot. The first 10 callers who call in right now and pledge 818-985-KPFK. And if you'd like to go see tomorrow night's screening, plus go to see the Lilith Fair tour coming through Southern California on Saturday, July 10th at Irvine Meadows, will throw in a pair of tickets for no additional pledge at 818-985-KPFK. The film Fuel was the won the Audience Award for Best Documentary at the Sundance Film Festival. It's been the New York Times Critics Pick and has won a number of other film festival awards as well. Josh Tickell, this film took you a very long time to make, and it was a labor of love. And in a way, it has distilled the work that you do, because you're not primarily a filmmaker, right? You're an environmental activist. You're a biofuel pioneer.
I would say environmental activist, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Fuel took a long time to make because it was very difficult to get people to speak out on this issue. You know, today, it's a whole different story with what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. But to set the context and the background of the oil industry, how it really works, where the money goes, why, you know, all of the questions that people are asking right now, where's the president? Where's the military? Where are all the solutions? All of those questions have much deeper roots. And Fuel really goes to the root of the problem. And it describes how does this industry work from people who work inside the industry. So that was a very long process, getting the right people, getting them to speak, and really illustrating that for viewers. So they go, oh, my God, wow, that's how it works? Yeah.
I was really impressed by how many issues the film covers. One of the things, before we get into the whole issue of biodiesel and biofuels, is the origins of the diesel engine. That was something I really didn't learn till I watched your documentary, that the diesel engine was essentially created by this man named Diesel, who created it to actually run on vegetable oil. Tell us that story.
Rudolf Diesel was actually a brilliant inventor. And he saw the potential of people to make their own fuel and to be independent of companies that could control governments. And he said, well, the way to do that is for me to invent an engine that would allow farmers to essentially grow their fuel. That was the diesel engine. Hmm. His vision was that farmers in colonies all across the world would actually grow their own fuel as part of their agriculture, not as their primary thing, but as part of their agriculture. And if you remember the way a usual farm used to work with draft horses, 25 to 35% of the land was set aside for horse feed.
Hmm.
So that's a tremendous amount of your energy going back to feeding the horses. Well, with Rudolf Diesel's engine, you only had to set aside 10% of your land to get that same amount of energy, and now you had mechanical energy. So it was a quantum leap forward. Unfortunately, his engine was never perfected to the point that he wanted it to be.
And when we think of diesel engines today, most people think of diesel engines as being dirty engines, engines that produce, you know, well, the word diesel is the name given to crude oil now, not, it's sort of been co-opted, right?
Standard Oil, actually, after Rudolf Diesel's death, and he had a very untimely death, he was found floating in the English Channel. Standard Oil actually co-opted his name and called this dirty byproduct of gasoline, they called that diesel fuel. So that was never Rudolf Diesel's initial intention. And what's ironic is right before he died, Rudolf Diesel said, would it not be ironic if I, Rudolf Diesel, one man, were to take down the entire Rockefeller Empire?
My guest is Josh Tickell, and he's the filmmaker of a new film, Fuel, that has really caused a big buzz, has earned a number of distinctions. It's just out on DVD now, and we want to give you a chance to own the DVD of the film at 818-985-KPFK, as well as get a couple of tickets to tomorrow night's KPFK screening, where you and other KPFK listeners can meet up, watch the film, discuss it afterwards. One of the guests from the film will be present. And KPFK programmer Terrence McNally is going to be there. That's at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro. And you can get a pair of tickets to the screening at 7:30 p.m. for a pledge of $25 and combine it with a DVD copy of the film for a pledge of $100. So the film on DVD plus two tickets for $100, the DVD by itself for $85, the tickets by themselves for $25. First 10 callers who pledge at the $100 level, you can also get a pair of tickets to Lilith Fair 2010, the all-women, all-female tour of musicians that donates much of their proceeds to charity. It's been revived after 11 years, and it's happening at the Irvine Meadows Saturday, July 10th. We have seated tickets to the Irvine Meadows event of Lilith Fair that we can throw in to entice you to call in and support KPFK. Now, Josh, let's talk about biodiesel itself and this whole concept of running our cars on something other than oil. It's been around for a long time, obviously, since Diesel himself designed his engines to do that. But a lot of folks think that this is very complicated to do. You have to retrofit your engine. You have to do all sorts of things. You have to be someone who knows cars really well. Is any of that true?
None of that is true. I've been using biodiesel for 13 years. And today, my biodiesel experience consists of me driving my car up to a biodiesel tank, pumping the biodiesel in, and driving away.
And that large SUV-shaped car sitting out in the KPFK parking lot runs on biodiesel?
Yeah, that is actually our tow vehicle. We towed a huge trailer across the country with all of our gear for our last tour with that vehicle. And, 7,000 miles just on biodiesel, and that's just recently. So, this is a simple fuel to make. Anyone can make biodiesel. And as time has gone on, as I said, I've been doing this for 13 years, biodiesel has become less popular because the government has sort of gotten involved and said, well, here's a fuel that can run in any diesel engine. People can make it themselves. And of course, if you can make your own fuel, well, then you become independent and you don't need gas stations and oil companies and all of this sort of thing. So there have become increasingly more restrictions on making your own biodiesel. And it's become increasingly more difficult, not from a chemical standpoint, but just from a logistical standpoint, to get used cooking oil and turn that into fuel for your car.
So used cooking oil is one source of fuel. And explain the difference between biofuel and biodiesel, by the way.
Well, biofuel is kind of an umbrella overarching category. It includes everything that can be made into fuel that's a biological source. So everything from cow dung to used cooking oil to sewage to grasses to wood chips, all of that, that's biofuels. But people often confuse biofuel with just one biofuel, which is ethanol made from corn. So they go, oh, I hate biofuel. It's made from corn. And if we make fuel from food, we're going to starve people. And it just shows how effective the media spin on biofuels has been.
And how did that controversy start? You covered in your film, but relate for our listeners. It seemed like from your film, there were just a couple of articles that came out at one point that almost overnight turned the conversation on biofuels.
Well, this is an example of how an organization can take the media and create a narrative that we all begin to believe. So Fields of Fuel, the first version of the movie, won the Sundance Audience Award in January of 2008. Right after that, oil prices, world oil prices, hit $148 a barrel. That was the highest that oil has ever been priced. Well, food prices, which are all based on oil, because essentially in the U.S. we eat oil. The nitrates, the phosphates, the fertilizers, all the building blocks for food come from oil.
And the transportation,
mm-hmm. The whole thing. So we don't really eat food. We just eat oil that's been transported through a biological process. Well, what happens in the U.S. is prices of food went up significantly, 15 to 25%. But overseas, those prices went as high as four times up. So people who were paying a dollar for bread were suddenly paying $4. Food riots broke out. The UN convened a meeting in Rome. And it wasn't just UN officials in that room. It was people who had an agenda. So out of that room came the conclusion that biofuels were the cause of the world food shortage. Now, bear in mind, biofuels are less than 1% of 1% of 1% of global agricultural production. So how did that tiny little portion, which is, you know, less rice than they grow in, Louisiana, change the entire spectrum of world food? And the answer is it didn't. It was a media spin very strategically created to use the rise in petroleum prices as a means to create a scapegoat. That scapegoat was biofuels. They used the whole word, not one biofuels. All of them had created this problem. And specifically, they used the problems with ethanol to sort of overshadow all these other technologies. So all of a sudden, 25 years of work on algae and biodiesel and methane from sewage and all these great solutions that were happening got lumped together and called the cause of starvation. Very effective media spin, and pretty much everyone bought it, from the New York Times to the LA Times to Time Magazine. Across the board, it was pervasive.
And so it essentially brought the conversation back to, well, we might as well just be stuck with oil at this point.
Exactly. It creates this downward spiral, and there's a lot of psychology in how we deal with oil. A lot of resignation comes back in when people believe that there's no other solution.
Well, we want our listeners now to join in the conversation around this by calling into KPFK and learning about this whole concept and educating yourself about being independent of oil. You can do that right now at 818-985-5735. My guest is the award-winning filmmaker Josh Tickell. His documentary Fuel won the Best Documentary Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival. It's won awards at the Sedona Film Festival, at the AFI Dallas Film Festival, at the Gaia Film Festival, Santa Cruz Film Festival, and on. It's been the official selection as part of over a dozen film festivals, and it's been extremely highly reviewed. It's our thank you gift to you today. I've watched the whole documentary and really feel like it's one of the best documentaries that's ever been made, and certainly the best documentary this year. It's been shortlisted for an Academy Award. We want you to have a copy of this film on DVD, as well as check check out the screening. Once you watch the film, by the way, tomorrow evening, you're going to want to get a copy and keep it for your collection so that you can watch it once more, learn from it, and share it with your family and friends. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. We have three callers on the line right now. I invited Josh to join me in studio this morning, and I really hope that by me having him in here and interviewing him and spending more time actually having a conversation with him rather than begging you for money, that you will call him, that the calls will just come trickling in because you'll be so impressed by the work that Josh is doing and by the conversation we're having that you don't really hear too many other places in the media. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. You'll never hear sponsored by BP on these airwaves. And for a pledge of $100, you'll get two tickets to the screening tomorrow night at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro, a beautiful historic theater in a very important part of our city that is known for its progressive work, its organized labor, and appropriately on the coast. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number. It's a $100 pledge for the tickets plus the DVD of the documentary Fuel. The first 10 callers will also get tickets to Lilith Fair 2010. I think we still have some passes left to the Lilith Fair 2010. Those are tickets we're going to be mailing to you, and that's happening Saturday, July 10th at Irvine Meadows. More information at lilithfair2010.com. 818-985-KPFK. We have four callers on the line right now. We can accommodate another four more of you. And I want to turn back to Josh to talk about a little bit more about biodiesel and biofuels in particular. 818-985-KPFK. I want to discuss algae. Algae as the possible answer to, or one of the possible answers to, the whole problem of oil dependence. But I can't get to that conversation till I get more of you calling in at 818-985-5735. The name of the film is Fuel. It's a very powerful film. It features, by the way, a number of very well-known folks, as well as people who are in industry, people who are in academia. The well-known folks include folks like Naomi Klein, Jim Hightower, Woody Harrelson, Neil Young, and Willie Nelson. Julia Roberts is in it. Larry Hagman, who played oil man J.R. in Dallas, who's now an environmental activist, he's featured in the film, as well as Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Van Jones, and Sheryl Crow. It is also has a fantastic animation that really complements the music and the visuals. It covers a variety of issues, including the dangers of dependence on foreign oil sources, global warming, the whole food versus fuel debate that we've just been discussing, economic responsibility and green-collar jobs, the Gulf of Mexico and Louisiana. Such a timely film now. Josh himself is from Louisiana. He's going there today to give a talk down there, and is in touch with folks who are experiencing some of the worst aspects of this horrific crisis. Thank you for those two calls. If we can just get two more calls at 818-985-KPFK, pledging at the $100 level, we can turn back to Josh. 818-985-5735 is the phone number, and I really hope that you call in and make your voice heard. This pledge drive has gone on long enough, folks. We're still a couple of $100,000 away from our goal. We just need one more caller. And thank you to all of you who are responding to this information. This is important information. It's empowering information. It's information that can not only change your life, but your society, your community, our economy. And if this information is kept from us, we continue to be locked in this cycle. And if we think that we are exempt from what's happening on the Gulf Coast, let's think again, Alaska and even the West Coast, all of our communities are vulnerable to the dangers of oil. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. All right, Josh, let's talk about algae. These little tiny organisms that you open your film with in explaining how oil itself is a substance that came to be created over millions of years. It starts with algae, but it can also end with algae. How does algae relate to all of this? And what is algae?
Well, algae is a very basic single-celled organism. It's the basis for all life on Earth. Probably one of the first organisms to live, algae and bacteria. And when you look at algae as a converter of solar energy into liquid energy, you've got this incredible machine. It is the most efficient converter of solar photons into oils and fat, as well as proteins, as well as carbohydrates on the planet. Mm. So it's this little biological engine that is the basis for all these very complicated biological engines that we currently employ. So if we want carbohydrates, we have to put nitrates and fertilizers and all that stuff on the ground, and then we grow wheat, and then we harvest the wheat, and then we do this incredibly long process to get this thing called bread. Well, algae kind of circumnavigates that and can create carbohydrates very quickly. The same with proteins. But the biggest example of what algae can do, and this is probably the most incredible for our time right now, is that it takes about 200 million years to make oil. You've got to sort of have algae grow in swamps and streams, then you've got to have dirt fall in it, and it's got to get compressed and turn into sandstone reservoirs, and then, like the reservoir that's punctured in the Gulf, it is under a great deal of pressure, and then it comes out. And it only happens under very certain circumstances. So algae can take that 200 million year process and shorten it to 3 days. Because essentially, the lipid factory, or the factory inside algae, is built to make fat. Algae makes this fat, or rather oil, to buoy itself up in water and get closer to sunlight. So the closer it gets to sunlight, the more photon energy it gets, the more energy it has. It can sustain its life. So the whole mechanism of how algae works is brilliant. And we can take algae grown in the desert, turn it into fuel, and put it in our vehicles. My wife, Rebecca Harrell Tickell, and myself co-created the first algae-to-gasoline vehicle, and we drove that across the country, and that was right after we premiered Fuel. So it's completely viable and possible to do this, and in fact—
Without starving the world.
Without touching 1 ounce of precious water or precious agricultural land. This can be done in desert using sewage. And we in the U.S. produce about 1 trillion gallons of sewage, 5 times more than we use gasoline every year. So in September, the first algae-to-fuel commercial facility will be unveiled. We're actually going out to New Mexico to film it in a couple of weeks for this new documentary we're making called Spill Baby Spill, which is the problem of the oil spill and all the solutions. But incredibly, this could be done on a massive scale. And in the small area that we do missile testing, just the area that we use for missile testing in the Sonoran Desert, we could grow enough fuel for the whole country.
Algae in the desert with sewage.
Why not?
Amazing. My guest is Josh Tickell, and I'm very pleased to have him in studio with me to talk about some of these really powerful and important ideas that are explored in the film Fuel. It's our thank you gift to you today. If you're getting a busy signal, please just stay on hold, and we'll get you right away, or call back in just a minute or two. I know that you're going to want to have this information at your fingertips. We have 6 callers on the line right now. Hope that we can get another 6 more when these calls fall through. Okay, we have 2 more lines that just opened up, folks. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. For a pledge of $100, you get the DVD of the film Fuel and a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's screening at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro. Call your loved one, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever you go watch movies with. Call them right now. Text them and say, let's go tomorrow night to see this film. I'm going to get tickets right now at KPFK, and then call us. You can get just the tickets for $25 pledge, but I promise you, once you watch the film, you'll want to keep a copy with you. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Now, Josh, another aspect you cover in the film is electric cars, but also Priuses are featured in the film. Priuses are very, Toyota Priuses, very popular cars, particularly here in Southern California. I admit I drive one. And I understand the DVD has a special feature about how you can get your Prius to basically run at 150 miles per gallon. So right now, I'm very, really proud of my 45 miles per gallon I can get on my Prius. But 150, how does that happen?
Well, my other car is a Prius with a plug, and my wife actually has that car this morning. So what's amazing about the Prius is inside the technology of the Prius, Toyota built the technology for an electric car. So the computer, the way it's set up, the way the car works, it's all ready to be an electric car. The way a regular Prius works is it's essentially a gasoline car with an electric assist. So most of the time when you're accelerating, you're on gasoline, but when you're coasting, you're on electricity. Or when you're braking, you're on electricity. So the way the conversion works is it turns your Prius into a mostly electric car with a gasoline assist. So now, the majority of time you're driving around, you're driving on electricity. Well, people go, oh, that's how does that work? Basically, you put a large battery bank in the Prius, and you change the computer controlling for the charging. So at night, you plug your Prius in, and when you're driving, for the most part, during the day, you're driving on electricity. And people have such a misnomer about electric cars or plug-in electric hybrids, which are really the bridge to electric cars. The most important thing to remember is how much you as a consumer pay. For every mile you drive electric, it costs you 1 penny a mile. So if you want to go 1,000 miles, that's $10.
Wow.
If you want to cross the country, that's $30. So it radically changes how much you pay, and it changes your source of fuel. You're no longer using oil from the Gulf of Mexico or oil from overseas. So you've changed the entire energy dynamic.
And there are now more and more cities, particularly in Southern California, where consumers can opt to get the majority of their electricity from wind energy or from green power, solar energy, et cetera. We're still connected to the grid, of course. But so the special feature in your DVD shows how one can convert a regular Prius that's into a plug-in model, the one that you can literally plug into your wall?
Exactly. It's actually the how-to process that gives you the understanding of how you actually do this to your Prius, which once you understand it, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, we don't use any gasoline. We don't use any algae fuel in that car because we've got it plugged in at night. So basically, we're driving around during the day, maybe for free, more or less, 10 cents a day or something like that.
I'll have to get a copy of the DVD myself. I only have a screener, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to pledge and get a copy of this film. I hope you join me at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFA. You get a copy of the film everyone's talking about. It's called Fuel. It's a pledge of $85 for the DVD. It's a pledge of $100 for the film and two tickets to tomorrow night's screening at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro. And that is located at 478 West 6th Street. The screening starts at 7:30 p.m. You can get tickets at the door, but they're going to be $15 a single ticket, so $30 a pair. You can get them right now at $25 at 818-985-5735. It's a very large theater. We want to fill it up, and we want to fill it up with KPFK listeners so that you can come together and join us. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. I want to play another short excerpt of the documentary Fuel. This one about fuel efficiency and how Europe is so much further than the United States on the issue of fuel efficiency. As you're listening, remember to call in and pledge $100 to KPFK at 818-985-5735.
In Germany, an independent car company called Leremo just produced a diesel car that gets over 150 miles per gallon.
That's why, especially in Europe, they've just gone hog wild over buying diesels.
Bill Ford, CEO, Chairman, Ford Motor Company.
In 2006, Ford lost $12.7 billion.
Thomas Lasorda, CEO and President, Daimler Chrysler Corporation.
Chrysler cut 13,000 jobs and lost $1.5 billion.
Rick Wagner Jr., Chairman, CEO, General Motors Corporation.
GM cut 35,000 jobs. They lost $10.6 billion.
Can't all of America's cars run on electricity and advanced biofuels? Why?
When Detroit, they were shown that they would save millions of lives as they put seatbelts in their cars, they resisted it. And they didn't do it because they thought it was the morally right thing to do, which it was. They didn't do it until they were forced to do it by legislation. And we're in the same place right now.
Consumers can choose to buy the Prius instead of the Hummer, and governments can choose to subsidize the Prius instead of the Hummer.
Because our government subsidizes wasteful cars, the average American car is 30% bigger than those overseas, which means our cars also consume about 30% more fuel. With the largest car fleet in the world, our population, only 4.5% of the Earth's inhabitants, makes almost half of the world's automotive CO2.
That's another excerpt of the film Fuel. It's narrated by the filmmaker, my guest in studio, Josh Takel. And you can get a copy of this very important, very powerful, and very empowering film, Fuel, for a pledge of $85 at 818-985-KPFK. You can also, for a pledge of $100, get the tickets to see tomorrow night's screening of the film. Once you watch it, you will want to have a copy of your own. We have five callers on the line right now, and we've only raised $800 so far, which is kind of sad, but I guess it's because the film and the tickets are a $100 pledge. Often, you know, we offer gifts, $200, $300 pledge amounts. They add up faster. And so these are adding up a little bit slower because we're making it more accessible to you. We're trying to, you know, make it really easy. A $25 pledge to see the film tomorrow evening, that's really accessible. Everybody, I hope, can afford that, or most everybody can afford that to see the two tickets to see the film. And frankly, folks, that's what you would pay at a movie theater anyway. I mean, most movie theater tickets these days cost up to $12.50 a person, or at least $10 a person. So we're not really even asking you too much more than what you would pay at a regular movie theater. And it is a fundraiser for KPFK, which Cinema Libre has very generously allowed us to arrange. It's the distributor for the film Fuel. The filmmaker, Josh Takel, joining me in studio this morning. I want to turn back to him in just a moment, but I need to see more of you calling in at 818-985-KPFK. Five callers on the line right now. Can we get three more callers at 818-985-KPFK? It's just $100 pledge to KPFK. We have four callers left on the line right now. So if we can get actually now three more callers. So if some phone lines are just opening up, there's room for you to call in and join the conversation. Josh Takel, you're a public radio kind of guy.
I love public radio. And I do want to say something, Sonali, and that is, if you're listening to this and you're on the teetering on the edge of calling in or not calling in, one of the most important things you can do today is to call in. And I'm saying this from my own heart. I love KPFK, but more importantly, I don't get to have these kind of conversations very often. Mm. I don't get to meet somebody who actually takes the time to watch the film, to ask real journalistic questions about what we're talking about. This is such a rare and precious conversation. And if you appreciate this, you're driving to work, you're getting ready for work, you just got your kids to school, and you're thinking, what's something I can do about the oil spill? What's something I can do about the disaster in the Gulf? You can get on the phone and get on to KPFK right now, get a couple of tickets to see Fuel, and support a media outlet that's going to tell you the truth. That is the most valuable, precious thing in the world. So I encourage you to call in right now. From my own heart, I get nothing out of the deal, but the satisfaction of knowing that we have some free public airwaves where the truth can actually come out.
818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. Folks, we have four callers on the line now. Maybe there's somebody out there who can pledge $1,000 to KPFK. You can take your friends to go watch the film. We'll give you 10 copies of the film. The faster we end this pledge drive, the faster we can go back to regular programming. And it's very important that we focus on what's happening in the Gulf right now. It's really an enormous disaster. But there is hope in places like this. There is hope. There will be more oil spills unless we get off of oil. That is inevitable. There will be more disasters unless we get off of oil. And KPFK is not afraid to show you the way to help you explore the solutions. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Josh, one of the things I really liked about your film was that you don't approach this whole issue with a one solution approach, that here's the problem and here's the solution that's going to take away all of the problems. I liked that you have a very nuanced approach, and I want to ask you to sort of explain how you came to the conclusion that even biofuel is one part of the solution alongside things like public transportation, et cetera.
When you look at the way that we consume energy today, you look at the political power, and again, this goes back to something that's so important about KPFK, is that all of that political power concentrated is because all of the energy is concentrated. So if you only get your energy from one place, guess where your political power is? One place. And when you diversify your energy mix, you diversify where the energy comes from, you diversify the power, and power begins to go back to the people. So from a political perspective, it's critical to get this information out. From an energetic perspective, it just makes sense. Why would you put all your eggs in one basket? There's no security in that. Mm-hmm. You'd never make all of your investments with one company, would you? No, you want to diversify. You want to broaden. You want to go, well, if this year, if biofuels aren't working, but solar is working, that's good. If wind's doing better, maybe we've got some wind that can sort of augment the solar. And there's all these different solutions now that are coming forward, and people go, well, which one? As if it has to be one. Wouldn't you rather have 100?
My guest is Josh Tickell. Folks, the phone lines are ringing off the hooks. If you're getting a busy signal, please wait for a moment and call us right back. Or you can pledge online at kpfk.org. Joining us in studio is Josh Tickell, award-winning filmmaker. And another guest who just walked in is KPFK Interim Program Director, Alan Minsky, who is joining us to also urge you to call. Alan?
All I really want to say right now is keep those calls coming, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And here's the deal, folks. I'm going to go answer phones, so I want to talk to you, one of you, in a second. Pick up that phone and call and pledge support. It's a brilliant conversation. You guys keep going. But please call right now, folks, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. There are a couple lines open. I'm going to be the third person in there waiting. I want to speak to
That's
one
right,
of you
Alan.
In a second.
You're going to be better served going in there and answering calls. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. Keep those calls coming in. The film won the Best Audience Award, Best Documentary Audience Award at the Sundance Film Festival. It's been so well reviewed. I have a stack of reviews sitting here in front of me that I didn't even have time to go through or to quote from because I have Josh in studio with me, and I think I'm better served talking to him about the film itself and picking his brain about the work that he's doing. So, Josh, going back to the issue of grease from restaurants, you know, which you start out showing in your film. You pull up to these fast food restaurants with your car and you ask them if you can have all their grease, and they're all sort of like, what are you talking about? There is a sort of a vibrant little underground industry here in Southern California where people drive their cars on used grease from restaurants. How viable is it for people to sort of get in on this? And at some point, won't we run out of used French fry oil?
Funny enough, you know, the interesting thing about how biodiesel has evolved, how this grease little grease monkey industry has evolved, is we have now co-ops. I don't know many people who do biodiesel by themselves. Most people have a friend or a group of friends, and together they sort of manage all the resources and who's going to do the tank and who's going to get the used cooking oil. And you know, I know of some groups in Southern California that make their own fuel, and they fuel, you know, maybe 50 to 100 cars themselves. The beautiful thing about this is that we grow the vegetable oil in the U.S. anyway. We use it to cook our food in, and then we're done with it. The only other option is it can go into animal food, which means you're eating the animals that have eaten the used cooking oil, which is toxic. So you can't do that, but, you know, people do. So it's a brilliant and simple mechanism to get people in the mindset of community energy. And that is really what we're talking about. That's why we're here. We're here. This is all community energy. This radio station is community energy. And you calling in and being part of this is your community energy. And so if you take that same model and you say, well, we can have community radio. We can have community gardens. We can have community energy. It starts to break the dependence and the cycle of resignation. You know, when you plant your own food and you grow it and then you eat it, you feel powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much power you feel when you make your own fuel and you pour that in your vehicle and you go by the gas station and you basically give them the finger. You feel very powerful.
And here in Southern California, it is, you know, it is very, very difficult to rely entirely on public transportation. Many of our listeners do, but many others are forced to have to drive to their work, commute to and from work and home. And, you know, we are also blessed with good weather. We can grow our own food here, many of us. But, yeah, it's this feeling of powerlessness a lot of us have, that we feel like we're tied to the oil pump. My guest is Josh Tickell, and we're asking you to call us at 818-985-KPFK. We have four callers on the line left, and we can accommodate another five or six of you in the next 5 minutes of this conversation and this program. 818-985-5735. 818-985-735 is a phone number to call, 818-985-KPFK. And I want to play you another excerpt of the documentary Fuel about oil politics. You know, where there was a whole conversation around the Iraq war and why we were in Iraq, our dependence on foreign oil, the links that we have with countries like Saudi Arabia. That, too, is expressed in the film. It's amazing to think about how much more peaceful this world could be if we had less vested interest in the stuff that is pooling under other people's countries. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. Here's another excerpt of the film Fuel.
This is Ken Hearn. He's a former CEO at Texaco. If anyone knows about oil, it's this guy.
As we stand today,
it's getting harder to find it. It's getting very hard to find it in a Western hemisphere, if you will. And I'll give you my best example I can give you. Chevron has announced the possibility of oil being in the Gulf of Mexico. But the area they're going to go drill in, they're going to drill in 10,000 feet of water, 5,000 feet of silt. They'll be 15,000 feet below the surface before they hit the structure where they're going to try to drill. If you think about it, it would be easier to walk on the face of the moon than it would be to go to that sector of this blue planet and look for oil.
The big question, Josh, is what are we going to do in 25 years' time when the oil is seriously depleted?
Of course, this isn't the first time we've had an oil shortage. Back in 1973, OPEC cut the flow of oil off to punish the U.S. for supporting Israel in the Yom Kippur War. When Jimmy Carter became president, he responded by launching an ambitious program to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. He even had solar panels installed on the roof of the White House.
We must start now to develop the new, unconventional sources of energy that we will rely on in the next century.
Carter's plan was working, and by the time he left office, he had reduced America's energy use by 25%.
It's a problem that we will not be able to solve in the next few years. And it's likely to get progressively worse through the rest of this century.
After Carter left office.
That's another excerpt of the documentary Fuel. I had to fade out of that early because we just have a few minutes left. We have five callers on the line right now and 2 minutes left in the program. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. It's amazing that we had solar panels on the White House when Carter was president. And it's so sad that we could already have been an entirely biofuel-run country if Reagan hadn't happened and taken down those solar panels. And it's amazing, Josh, to hear that Carter actually cut the energy use of this country by 25%. I mean, that was years ago. And we've gone backwards because of moneyed interests.
Much of the economic wealth that we saw during the Reagan era was due to the energy savings that took place during the Carter era. Hmm. Now, you can say what you want about Carter in terms of the hostage situation and the oil situation, what have you. But the housing boom, the economic boom, and even to a large degree, the sort of military-industrial complex boom that came during the Reagan era was due to the fact that we saved basically a quarter of the money going through the economy through energy savings. Hmm. Now, if Obama, the Obama administration really wanted to take a stand, and we talk about this in the movie. The movie doesn't end with, you know, because we did it right before the election. It doesn't end with, okay, now everything's okay. It says, you've got to hold your politicians accountable. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care who you elect. If you elect, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, you're still going to have to hold him accountable because it's not Obama per se. We have an entire infrastructure around this guy. And all of those senators, all of those congressmen, all of those people in the administration have to be held to account to a higher standard. If we reduced our energy use during the Carter administration by 25%, imagine what we could do today with all the new technology. We could probably go 50%, at least 40, and that would create the biggest economic boom the U.S. has seen to date.
Well, the number to call if you want a copy of this fantastic film, Fuel, is 818-985. 1-800-585-5735. The calls are still rolling in. And the pledge, for $100 pledge, you can get a copy of the DVD and two tickets to get to the screening tomorrow evening. And we're hearing calls for more people to come in and answer phones. That means we've got more callers than phone answerers. That's fantastic. Maybe you can come in and help us answer calls real quick if you're around the corner. 818-985-KPFK is the number to call. Very briefly, near the end, tell us about the press conference you had on Tuesday with Mayor Villaraigosa about how we're going to get L.A. off oil.
That was an incredible press conference. So the mayor spoke, of course. We had Councilmember Rosendahl and Perry speak. And we had the heads of almost every single major green NGO in Los Angeles speak. So in less than an hour and a half, we had the entire consortium of people who can move this city from an oil-dependent city to a non-oil city. And the great powerful thing that came from this was a strategic alliance of these minds. I mean, the environmental movement's always going in 16 different directions, but right now everyone's going in one direction, and that is get LA off of oil, get the country off of oil. I believe in the mayor's 30-10 plan to do 30 years worth of metro transit work in 10 years. Heck, I'd like it to be a 35 plan, do 30 years in 5 years. And what's powerful about this is we're going to the U.S. government and saying you should subsidize Metro Transit rather than subsidizing BP. That's power.
Well, Josh, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I could talk to you for another hour. We're out of time. I really appreciate you coming in studio this morning. And bon voyage. You're going to Louisiana. Good luck with all of that. We hope to have you back on in the future.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
Josh Tickell is the award-winning filmmaker of the film Fuel. And again, you can keep those calls coming in to get a copy on DVD of the film, plus two tickets to tomorrow night's screening at the Warner Grand Theater in San Pedro at 818-985-KPFK. The film by itself for $85. The tickets by themselves for $25. We still have, I think, a couple of pairs to Lilith Fair left as an add-on. 818-985-KPFK. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Chief Seattle said in 1855, humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. That's Chief Seattle. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day. You've been listening to Uprising. Gabriel San Roman is our assistant producer. G is our engineer. Special thanks to Maggie Lepeek. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Keep those calls coming in. I'll see you Monday at 8.
I tiptoe.